We'll go the other direction this time down the table. We'll switch it up. We'll start with you, Member Lynn.
No comment.
Thank you, sir. Member Norheim.
Well, it's probably a great time to fix that thing since nobody's in there right now.
Roger. Thank you, Member Norheim. Mayor Jensen.
I've got no comment.
Thank you, sir. Member Morrell.
No comment.
Member Tremblay. Thank you, Member Morrell.
No comment.
Member Mucci.
Nothing here, Jay.
Sounds good. I'll briefly say, Member Norheim phrased that well. This is a great time for us to get working on that because there's nobody in there. So, with that, the clerk, please call the roll.
Brandy?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob? Bob?
Yes.
Thank you. Chelsea?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that passes unanimously in its second reading. All right. That brings us to new business, 15A, ordinance 2020-09. An emergency ordinance amending the fiscal year 19 and 20 budget to establish a local emergency disaster fund and approve an emergency appropriation into the fund to respond to the COVID-19 outbreak. I'll briefly describe it. Emergency ordinance 2020-09, if adopted, will establish a local emergency disaster fund and approve an emergency appropriation of $200,000 into the fund to respond to the outbreak. Establishing the fund will allow the borough to track expenses and may be reimbursed by the federal government. The emergency ordinance will be effective immediately upon adoption, which takes only one reading and will continue in effect for 60 days unless sooner repealed. I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
It has been moved by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Lynn. Back then, dinner to the table. Jeff, we'll open with you for discussion on this one.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So a question that I have is that 2020-09 and 2020-10, are these related ordinances?
Yes, they are. And Finance Director Tao, you have been unmuted, so you can speak as well if you would like to answer any of these questions.
Okay, thank you. For Jeff, the first ordinance, it's an emergency ordinance, and it's only good for 60 days. So we have to have introduced the second ordinance, which is a permanent ordinance that will take three readings. So that's the only difference.
Okay, thank you. So there's $200,000 in this fund, and what are some of the, either on 2020-09 or 2020-10, what are some of the items that these funds could be spent on?
Sure. Mostly emergency PPE, cost to disinfection, overtime for emergency personnel. FEMA categorizes it as expenses category B, emergency type expenses. Carl might want to chime in more to this, but it's pretty selective, and we hope by transferring this $200,000 into this fund, up to 75% of it will be reimbursed by FEMA at a later date.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Anything else, Jeff?
Nothing else.
Thank you, sir. That brings us on to Member Tremblay.
No comment. Thank you for putting this together, though. This is going to be, we'll be glad we did this.
Thank you, Member Tremblay. On to Member Morrell.
No comment.
Thank you, Brandy. Mayor Jensen.
I pass.
Thank you, sir. Member Norheim.
Yes, she had said that the second one, 2010, was the more permanent version. So does that mean that we will have forevermore a emergency planning budget set aside if that second what, 2010 passes?
It just means that we're going to have expenses next fiscal year. The emergency ordinance, the one you're looking at right now, only lasts for 60 days, and so right at the end of May, and we're going to unfortunately have more expenses going into later this fall, most likely. So.
Okay.
Anything else, Member Norheim?
No, that's all.
Thank you, sir. Member Lynn?
Pass.
Right on. I just wanted to briefly echo what Member Tremblay said. I wanted to thank the Finance Department for being proactive in their thinking and how to get us reimbursed from the federal government for some expenses that we incur. So I just want to say appreciate your efforts for it. With that, the clerk, please call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that passes unanimously. Which brings us to 15B, Ordinance 2020-10, an ordinance amending fiscal year 2019-2020 budget to establish a local emergency disaster fund to respond to the COVID-19 outbreak. As stated before, this one is being established to disaster fund to respond to COVID-19 outbreak extending past the 60-day emergency ordinance approved above. I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
And moved by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Norheim. Start with you, Member Lynn, for discussion.
I'll pass.
Member Norheim, thank you, Member Lynn.
Pass.
Mayor Jensen.
Just one comment. Kind of back to Member Norheim's question about if this would be in place in perpetuity. The last part of the ordinance as just presented, it says disaster fund to respond to the COVID-19 outbreak. So I think it would end after this situation has passed us, but that's all.
Thank you, Mayor Jensen. Member Moreau.
Pass.
Member Tremblay.
No comment.
Thank you, Chelsea. Member Mucci.
Nothing here, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, also pass. Pretty self-explanatory. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes. Chelsea?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And that passes unanimously. We'll move to item C, Ordinance 2020-11, an ordinance approving the borough's participation in a proposed refinancing by the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank General Obligation Bonds, 2010 Series 1, issued in two series, one tax-exempt and one taxable, which provided funds to purchase the City of Petersburg's General Obligation Electric Utility Bond, 2010 Series A, tax-exempt, and the 2010A bond, and the City of Petersburg General Obligation Electric Utility Bond, 2010 Series B, taxable, Build America Bond, the 2010B bond, under a loan agreement between the City and the Bond Bank, authorizing the Borough Manager and Finance Director to enter into a new loan agreement with the Bond Bank, setting forth a revised debt service schedule with respect to the loan evidenced by the 2010A bond, the 2010B bond, in accordance with the 2010 loan agreement. The Bond Bank successfully refinanced the 2010 bonds, authorizing the issuance of a new bond or bonds to the bank to evidence the refinanced loan and establish an effective date. That was a heck of a mouthful. I'm going to read the bottom part of it here briefly. The general obligation bonds are eligible to be refunded. The Municipal Bond Bank is working with communities, including Petersburg, to facilitate a transaction due to the low market rates. There's a projected $270,000 in savings to the Petersburg Electric Department over the next 10 years until maturity of the bonds. recommended would entertain a motion to approve the funding of Petersburg's 2010 General Obligation Bond Series 2010 A1 and 2010 B1.
So moved.
So I'll go moved by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Lynn. Before we get into discussion, Jody, could you speak briefly to the large mouthful that this is? For Carl?
Here, we're getting Jody unmuted again. Hang on one second, please.
Oh,
no problem. You there, Jody?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go right ahead, and thank you.
Okay, so in 2010, Power and Light issued bonds for the standby diesel generator and some other capital projects. Well, they qualify because of the low interest rates to refinance their bonds. It's going to save approximately $270,000 over the next 10 years. So it's great. A bunch of communities are doing it with the Alaska Alaska Bond Bank. And yeah, there's not much besides that to say.
Hold on. Just wanted the people listening at home to have a clearer version than the long paragraph that it was, so I thank you.
Sure.
With that, I'll start on, I think it's Jeff's end this time. Member Mucci, anything to contribute?
Nothing here.
Thank you, sir. Member Tremblay?
No comment.
Thank you, Member Tremblay. Member Morrell?
No comment.
Thank you, Member Morrell. Mayor Jensen?
Makes a lot of sense to me, and thanks to the finance director for being on top of this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Mayor Jensen. Member Norheim?
No, it's good. Save a little money.
Absolutely. Thank you, Member Norheim. And Member Lynn?
Definitely. I just echo. Thank you, Carl and Jody. This is a follow-up of something that we did at SEPA, and it's significant savings for the borough. So thank you for going through with it.
Thank you, Member Lynn. I echo the comments made here, and I'm in full support, and I'm glad this is coming forward. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Thank you.
And it passes unanimously. All right. That brings us on to item 16, communications. We have three items that are they're in the record. This is correct, Clerk Thompson, the reduced plastic use Petersburg letter, the Ron Bushman email, and the Paul Bless email. They'll be on the record for citizens to view, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. That can be viewed on the borough website or on the meeting agenda, which brings us to
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd just like to make one comment. You know, I appreciate people sending communications to us and having entered into the record, but I would just like to say the letter from the members of Reduced Plastic Use in Petersburg, I really appreciate a name with that, just to know who is sending the letters. That helps me to know what kind of support it really has, instead of just a group without any number of members to it or any names associated. And we've addressed this in the past, but I'd like to thank people for sending in their comments.
Thank you, Mayor Jensen. Appreciate it. That brings us down to assembly discussion items. Item 17A, quarantine mandate and upcoming visitors to Petersburg. The Assembly wishes to discuss the governor's quarantine mandate for incoming travelers and how it will affect our lodges, cruise ships, processors, fishing industry, deckhands, et cetera. I guess it's other end of the table. Member Lynn.
I'll pass for now. Thank you.
Okay. Member Norheim.
I don't know the mandate. My understanding was that if he wasn't blocking travel, but because of the 14-day quarantine, he made it more or less really expensive to continue to come up here. I don't know, that's about it. I think the processors are probably working around what they can do to get their workers in here safely. As far as the lodges go, I do not know. I believe the bear hunters kind of got shut down for that part of their probably spring visitors. But that's about it.
Thank you, Member Norheim. Mayor Jensen.
Yeah, I kind of asked that we have this discussion, and you know, after asking the person to put it on the agenda, one industry thought I was targeting them specifically, and I'm not. I just think as a community, there's the cruise ship industry. But I think we need to keep on top of it. I know we will. The governor's mandate and what people can do when they come to town. And the way I currently read it, if you come to town from out of state, you're automatically mandated 14 days. So I don't know what that would mean, if you'd have to stay on your yacht or the cruise boat or what have you. But I guess that we'll see as things progress here. I believe the governor's mandate for that, 11 and 12, or they expire on the 11th. So that would be this coming Saturday. So I just think it's something we need to be aware of, and how we could, hate to say it, but limit the number of people that come and can potentially wander around through town that aren't screened, I guess, to say. So anyway, that's my comment.
Thank you, Mayor Jensen. Yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on that, too, to see if he re-ups that mandate. You know, it was one set to expire, but I'm hoping he re-ups on that. Over to Member Morrell.
Yeah, I don't have much to say on this other than I know that here at ISPO we've been working hard on a plan. But that being said, a way to limit the number of traffic coming in here would be for locals to apply to help us during the salmon season and come help process this year. So that's my 2 cents.
Well, thank you, Member Morrell. Member Trembley.
I mean, we don't really know what's going to happen. I also am echoing back with what Phil mentioned earlier, that the mandate right now is kind of the standard for the mandate is a little bit lower than where we need to be thinking about this all conceptually on a person-to-person level. We need to be thinking how we should be behaving, not how we are allowed to behave when it comes to being safe and keeping each other safe. So I hope that we're able to get a good dialogue going with our federal delegation, because the fact that some states still have not even issued stay-at-home mandates, let alone have widespread testing available nationwide, means that this is only going to be a longer and longer issue. And so I'm sure the state mandate will continue. We don't know how it's going to happen. The cruise ships are adjusting their system. Like, they're tied up right now, at least the ones that I'm in contact with. And I know that a lot of people are doing a workplace-by-workplace solution. But I would also hope that this can be an opportunity for community solutions, because I see this list, lodges, processors, and I see people that will have empty beds and people that might need places to send their people for isolation periods, including deckhands on fishing boats. I'm starting to get messages from friends wondering how they're going to be up here and isolate before joining crew who are coming all over. So I hope that this is a community conversation. I hope that we're able to support each other. But I just have to echo Phil that we need to be thinking about this in a deeper interpersonal systemic level, not just what the governor says. And this is really only the beginning of a discussion.
Thanks, Member Trembley. Member Mewtwo.
Nothing here, Mr. Mayor.
I don't think. I'll just briefly weigh in on it. I know it's an extraordinarily obvious statement, but, you know, this situation is so fluid right now. Isn't he, you know, evolving every day? And I really wanted to give thanks to one particular statement that Incident Commander Hagerman made earlier. And this isn't a week-long or a couple of weeks with me managing this situation. You know, this is, we're talking months. That's just an objective reality right now. And I, for one, I'm very grateful for right now that the processors are thinking very hard and very seriously about how to employ people safely. Their plans are they're fluid as well. They're responding to constantly changing scene also. But for those listening at home, like, know that they are taking it very seriously. And I'm glad. I'm grateful for our neighbors in the processing industry thinking about us as neighbors and thinking about themselves as neighbors too. And I know, you know, both Trident and PFI will be, or NYSERDA will be keeping us abreast of their plans. And I know for myself, I know speak for Director Hagerman, he looks forward to working with them and finding a solution that keeps us all safe. We're gonna have to keep a close eye on it. I'll just open the floor randomly to anybody else want to chime in on it at this point?
Mr. Mayor, this is Carl.
Thank you, Carl. Go right ahead.
Thank you. So I just wanted to bring the Assembly's attention to a quarantine matrix chart that we provided on our website and posted on Facebook. It's a very complicated to keep up with all of the mandates, and so we put the chart together for a couple of reasons. First of all, of course, the guidance to people that have workers coming to town, or, you know, fishermen that are coming to town, you know, where they want to know where they stood in all of the mandate language. So the chart actually, it does a pretty good job of just boiling it down to, you know, specific groups of people and whether they're coming to town from within the state or from out of the state, and what the requirements in the mandates, the state's mandates, would have on them. So it's a very good resource to use, and I would encourage anybody listening to go to our website and look for the quarantine matrix chart link on the front page and take a look at that. The second purpose is, and it's really more of a management tool, is to see what holes there are in the quarantine process. You know, Phil's comments earlier of being as restrictive as we possibly can is something we should heed. You know, it is a fact that if we have an outbreak in Petersburg, we're going to overwhelm our healthcare system very quickly, and that will be a bad thing for everyone involved. So this chart actually shows us where the holes are in the mandate language that has been provided by the state. For instance, you know, tour ship passengers that are coming into Petersburg from within the state, those are obviously non-essential, a non-essential purpose, but the mandates are moot except to say that non-essential interstate travel is prohibited. So they're not even contemplating that people will book a trip in Southeast Alaska and trying to be traveling between communities. So it's very hard, and those are the types of things that it would be great to tighten up on and clarify, either at the state level, if these mandates are extended after April 11th, hopefully that the state will do a better job of writing the next version. Also, if we are able to be considered a small community after the correspondence that was sent to the state's governor's office and health officials last week, that's something that we could take on and try to clarify and make it a little tighter for those conditions. And, you know, there's a fine line between shutting down all economy and protecting our community. And it's a balance, but the balance, the scale is leaning heavily towards protecting our community right now. And I hope everybody realizes that and understands that we're not trying to shut down any one group or economy. It's about flattening the curve, and hopefully we'll be able to come out with some recommendations for further mandates if the state allows it, and or maybe they'll change what they have in place right now. But we the language in the mandates with the state very clearly that those mandates supersede any local mandates is very troublesome for trying to plug those holes that we see in the chart. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Carl, thank you so much for chiming in on that. And please keep all of us in the loop with your work with the state and trying to get us an exemption for that or any other developments that can give us greater power to take necessary steps. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. That brings us down to assembly members' comments on any topic. I'll just open the floor to that if anybody has anything they want to add on anything else.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Go right ahead, Member Lynn. Yep, go right ahead, Member Lynn.
Thank you. I've got two items I'd like to talk about. One is that I've been contacted by a number of people outside of town, both out the road and off island, about trying to sign up for Code Red. They get to a certain point and then they can't put the information in. I've talked to Sandy about it, and I know at least one of those people have also talked to Sandy, and she's told me she's going to follow up and get that information out. So for those people who have talked to me, we have followed through, and Sandy is also following through with the Code Red folks to see if we can solve the problems that they were identified. First item. Second item, I'd like to encourage, since this is the time that we're all kind of isolated from one another, I would encourage anybody who wants to talk to us, please send us a letter, send me a note, send, you know, any of us on the telephone, what have you. I encourage that. At least we know, and then we know where the interests are, where the concerns are, and so forth. Please do so. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Well said, Member Lynn. Well said. Any other assembly member comments before we move on to recognitions?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Mucci.
Thank you. Hey, I guess the question is kind of for Carl and or Phil. So if we get to a point in the community where we do have an outbreak, what would be the next step? Would there be further restrictions on movement, or what's the thinking there?
Mr. Mayor, I can answer. This is Carl.
Yep, please do. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yes, if we do have an outbreak that is very difficult for us to manage, as in terms of mandating further activity, there are things that the assembly can do that I believe were not mentioned in the governor's mandates, and therefore wouldn't be a prohibition for us to take action on things such as curfew, for instance. I think that you know has its place. Right now, we're heavily relying on our population to operate on the honor system and do what they can in meeting the terms of the mandates. A curfew, if it's put in place, is just one more step towards restricting people's non-essential movement in the community. Again, there's with every restriction, every mandate, there is allowances for essential activities that have to occur. So it's very difficult to answer this question with any certainty on exactly what things could look like. But we could enforce a curfew or try to enforce a curfew to keep people off the streets. But at this point, there's not too many more steps that we can take.
Carl, can
Thank
I
you.
Add to that just a little bit?
Absolutely.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Phil. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, so each under the incident command system, you know, we have operational periods. And in that operational period, we could add that as an action item. I think it's a very good question to answer as we as this progresses. And Carl, I'm sure we would be looking at that those next steps as well. And we're looking at those from the surge capacity, and then Carl would be looking at those from just like you were asking on the community side.
Thank you, Bill. Did that answer your question, Member Meachie?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Mayor Jensen, were you waiting to chime in? I thought I heard you before.
Yeah, I did. And, I'd just like to thank Carl for working with the state and with Senator Stedman's office, and I was involved a little bit in some of those phone calls, and hopefully we could get it so Petersburg, that they up the number of the population that you count for a rural community, and we will be able to potentially, if we need to, impose some restrictions of our own. I know some people don't care for that idea, but I think as isolated as we are, I think it's important. One other thing I would like to bring up under the Assembly Member's comments is we talked about earlier in this meeting about the two phone calls for the Conference of Mayors this week. I will forward that email I got to the clerk, and she could share it with Member Stanton Greger. And between now and those calls, maybe we could get some ideas from, the team and Assembly members on what we should ask our federal delegation on the second phone call in particular on Friday the 10th, because that will be with our congressional delegation. So it would be a good time to ask them some questions and get them thinking about our needs in Petersburg Borough. That's it.
Does that make sense to you, Clerk Thompson?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Clerk Thompson, on that one. Okay. That'll bring us down to recognitions then. I'll just go free for all. Anybody, go right ahead. Seeing none.
Mr. Mayor, Carl.
Yes, go ahead, Carl, please.
I think we absolutely have to recognize the incident command team, both at the borough level and at the hospital, for the work they're doing right now. It is amazing. You know, the work that the hospital has taken on and the planning they are doing is really protecting us all. So a big thanks to them, as well as anybody on my team. Everybody's pitching in, you know, as much as they can, whenever they can. And it's really a community effort right now, and I appreciate everyone very much. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Carl, and absolutely, you know, I feel comfortable speaking for us right now. Like, as a whole community, we're grateful for everyone's efforts, both in the professional capacity and the civilians. Everyone's trying to do their best. I couldn't agree with everything you said more. Thank you, Carl. Before we adjourn, before I entertain a motion to adjourn, this is a point of clarification for the Assembly. After we adjourned, stay on your lines while Clerk Thompson readies the prepares to switch over to the special meeting agenda. And then we'll follow her direction when she's ready, and then we'll begin that one as well. So, with that, I'd entertain a motion.
I have a quick recognition.
Of course.
In light of the CDC recommendations that people wear cloth masks or masks in general in public spaces, I'd like to thank all the sewers in town who are busy making cloth masks. And if you are in need of a mask, hopefully we can get a good, maybe the EOC could have a standardized where to get a cloth mask response so that everyone who is needing one would be able to get one. I know that they're prioritizing different groups in town based on need, but thank you to everyone busily sewing away, and hopefully we get those masks into folks' hands and proper protocol is followed so people stay safe out there.
Thank you, Member Tremblay. With that, I entertain.
I have.
Oh, yep, go right ahead. I'll yeah. Stay quiet till you guys are done. Go ahead.
Just a quick thing. I know there's lots of people to thank right now, the essential workers. I just wanted to thank my buddies down at TU there,
Chris, Lyman, and Falaski. You guys are doing good work. We appreciate it. Thank you guys for your service and keeping the food rolling.
Right on. Thanks, Member Norheim.
Yeah, I had a recognition, too. I'd like to thank the Lighthouse Church for thinking outside of the box on ways to keep our children entertained and putting on the drive-in movie.
Yeah, it's a great service they're providing. I'm glad you recognize that. Okay. I'm going to tentatively speak up and say I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Member Norheim, seconded by Mayor Jensen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That meeting is adjourned. Sit tight on your